Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live from Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. We are here at the Porkfest, or the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I actually finally managed to get down. I actually got down last night to look at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which, as you may have noticed, is this thing happening down there, where the rest of this is just, it's hard to characterize what this is other than just a party. But I finally got down there. It's awesome to see the Porkfest.party banner hanging up in the Crypto 6 Pavilion. It's awesome that there is a Crypto 6 Pavilion. I didn't even know that until yesterday when I... And today I had to do a presentation on the long-term ramifications, as I see them, of the case against the Crypto 6. And I did this as a member of the Crypto 6 from the Crypto 6 Pavilion with a Forkfest.party banner hanging up behind me. And there was no part of it that I didn't enjoy. Plus, getting to speak with people afterward who had similar stories to share was absolutely amazing, such as Phil here from...
Bill.
I'm sorry. I wrote that down wrong. You're from the United Kingdom, correct?
Correct. From England, yeah.
And you told your story to Chris Wade. I haven't heard it yet. You said it's very similar to what happened with us, only you didn't get your door kicked in.
Correct, yeah. So, when I came to Porkfest in 2015, I really at that point found out about cryptocurrency properly.
Right. Porkfest is really good about that.
Yeah.
Here you see people actually spending and using cryptocurrency in day-to-day transaction. It's just glorious to watch.
And I thought, well, this is the coming thing. I need to get into this space, and also I need to spread this. You know, this needs to be brought out there, right? And so I bought a vending machine.
A Bitcoin
vending machine, yeah. Okay. And in 2017, I set that up in a shop in England. And in 20...
Was this your shop in England?
Not my shop.
Someone you knew who was willing to let you rent the space?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Essentially. Later on after that, I bought a second machine later that year or the following year and set that up as well. And
I don't blame you for what I've heard. I mean, it's really low maintenance, and it's not a bad way of helping people acquire Bitcoin.
Exactly. And I have the technical background to be able to understand it and do those things themselves, so I'm not dependent on third parties, right? And so this was running, and obviously one of the things I was always very concerned about is first of all, like, official disapproval.
Right. From the beginning, cryptocurrency advocates and just Bitcoin advocates, we all knew that governments weren't going to like it.
Yeah. And I was very concerned about the tax position because, again, obviously when you're doing something that's not illegal but is disapproved of, you will get investigated and you will have to pay tax on that. And so, you know, my plan was render unto Caesar, you know, it's got their face on it. Yeah. I give it back to them. I'm paying them in their own tokens.
Right.
Right? So it was never...
It's interesting you say that. One of the posts on my website, Reformed Satanic Church, is titled Give Unto Caesar. But it's more a suggestion of getting people to stop using government money and get them to use cryptocurrency instead, because these fiat currencies, they are Caesar's money, and Caesar does control them.
Yeah.
So stop using Caesar's money.
But also, if you face a tax bill, I mean, these people are issuing worthless tokens by the billion and by the trillion. If you give some of that back to them, really, they've not gained.
That's true. Well,
it's
different here in the United States, given how much war and inflation occurs here, and the inflation being used to pay for the war. I would argue that even using USD is a way of helping fund the war machine.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But my take on it was always that, basically, I was very, you know, very much low profile at the time,
right,
and nobody's interested, and I expected trouble, not trouble, disapproval in the future.
Sure.
And, you
well,
know...
Well, I expected disapproval.
And a way of dealing with that is to, you pay tax on it, and you be as upfront as possible with them.
Sure.
And if they present a hoop, you give them a hoop, you help them out if they have any questions, and that has always been my approach, is to be as absolutely straightforward and open as possible. And one effect of that very quickly was, is I found that no bank would do business with me.
Yeah.
Right? So I switched to a model of being entirely self-funding. I'd deposit no cash, and all trading would be two ways, all buying and selling would, and if I couldn't find...
Isn't it messed up that banks wouldn't do business with you because you were involved with cryptocurrency, and yet we now have banks like Wells Fargo offering to open up crypto wallets for their customers?
Yeah.
It's like, you vile, little, disgusting hypocrite here.
Well, it wasn't that they wouldn't do business with me. They wouldn't accept deposits. They wouldn't accept deposits based on the sale of cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
Right? So that meant that I did not go down the exchange route. I went through the self-funding route.
Okay.
And so this basically became a business that was based on, you know, capital of my IT consultancy income.
Sure.
That provided the stock, and then it bought and sold. We're just buying cheap and selling dear, which is as old as there's been money. Mm-hmm. That's how a trade works. So that was all basically going. I was definitely. I would say, I mean, the shopkeepers got really good at this, but there was probably once a week, once every 2 weeks, they would have to intervene to stop criminal misuse.
Really?
Yeah, typically fraud. That would be the thing. I mean, you have very typical signs of it, which is somebody goes up to the machine and they don't know a thing about it, and they
they've been hit with romance scams. And
yeah, romance scams, tax scams. You know,
it's so hard to. Especially with romance scams, it's so hard to talk people out of it once they're caught in it.
Oh, believe me, I have spoken to more people than I can count.
Who,
and it's the same story. So, and I, you know, I have a particular passive for it, which is like, so your boyfriend or your husband, have you met the gentleman concerned? And
they will lie.
Oh yeah, God, yeah. And
because
like,
they're so wrapped up, they've already invested so much that they just can't admit to themselves that they're lying. They're like, yeah, I met, but they haven't.
Oh, they're the nickel snot, no. And then it's like, well, so he wants you to send money, and you know this machine, it doesn't really send money. It's just for buying cryptocurrency, and I don't let people send money with it because first of all it's illegal, and secondly it's strongly associated with fraud. And
right.
And you just ask them a few questions, and they don't seem to know anything. So, and it always said, you know, so I mean he's getting you to what I mean, where does he live? And he says, no. It's like, oh, well, he's, you know, he's a UN troop soldier, and he's posted to Mogadishu, and he needs help to get out. And I said, look, I heard that before from so many people, and he's not.
I know, right? Man.
He's
know.
Not.
We spent one episode of Free Talk Live talking to one of these guys who got caught up in a romance scam. He just kept sending this girl money because she promised she had millions of dollars to help her get home because she ran this import-export business, and he sank his entire life savings into this. And the only reason it ever stopped was because he ran out of money.
Yeah.
No one ever successfully talked him into it.
No, and I mean, obviously, all these people like that, I mean, it's immediate lifetime ban from me.
Sure.
I don't do business with people like that.
Well, you don't want to help people be defrauded,
exactly. There's
right?
There's the moral aspect of it, and then there is the fact is, as in any business, I was in absolutely not cryptocurrencies, but any business of any sort, you do not want police visits from distraught former customers of yours, where it's like, oh, we came to your shop and like we've lost all our money. I mean, when that starts happening on a regular basis, you know, something bad will happen, and it won't necessarily be that they charge you, they prosecute you for that particular thing, but they will, you know, it happens.
They'll find some other reason.
They'll find something,
yeah.
And so I had a very strict protocol about this, which is basically the shopkeepers. You say you take that straight to the police. Right?
Okay.
You take that straight to the police. So This meant that I, you know, it kind of keeps it real, because, you know, the local police force, they, you know, somebody comes in again and says, look, you know, I was trying to buy some Bitcoin and I talked to the shopkeeper and he said I should come to you, right, and show you these messages on WhatsApp, right, because he thought they were criminal. And so I had lots and lots of things. I know they'd have like a transaction limit. They'd have a lifetime transaction limit of £1,500, and then you hit that.
Phil, can you stick with this for almost a second? Because we haven't gotten into what happened.
All right, so anyway, 2020.
Well, hold up. Stick around for one more second. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live from Rogers Campground here at Fort Fest 2021 in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. There's still time. Get down here. We're here until July the 4th, and there's all sorts of things to see and do, people to talk to. But I want to tell you about Liberty.menu because it's a tool for our community. At its heart, it's a repository of events, businesses, and more for libertarians around the world. There's no cost to use Liberty.menu, but there is a catch. To use the site, you must adhere to the principles of non-aggression. If that means you and you want to connect with other volunteerists, Liberty.menu is the place to do it. Use code FTL to get a special badge, Liberty.menu. Now, I'm sitting here with Bill from the United Kingdom, who, after attending the Porcupine Freedom Festival back in 2015, you acquired some Bitcoin vending machines and you set those up, and you had the shopkeepers who owned these shops at the places you set these machines up look for, you know, signs of fraud and things like that. And
criminal misuse, yeah.
Yeah, and that's sort of where we left off. So what happened next?
So in January 2020, the British government, in line with the rest of the world, brought in regulation of Bitcoin, and basically the same model as banking or insurance or mortgages or any of these other, or buying a house or all these things. And
I haven't followed it. What's the cryptocurrency regulation like in the United Kingdom?
Well, I didn't know about it either, so it wasn't. And
so you just carried on business as normal.
I could, because I was trading before January 2020. I was grandfathered in for the first year.
Okay.
So I carried on, and I kept my transactions always below any declaration threshold,
right,
a long way below, and I systematically stopped and prevented criminal misuse and made sure that anything like that, and I tracked totals and everything, you know, and if somebody was putting in significant money, I would find out what was going on and so on, and the whole thing. But in 2020 the regulation began, and if I wanted to carry on trading after the end of 2020, I would need to apply for regulation. So I did this in, it's an online registration thing, and it's
okay.
Absolutely more complicated than you could possibly imagine.
I can imagine. Anything dealing with the government is overly complicated, and a cryptocurrency regulation submission document, I can only imagine how complicated that really is.
And it actually took a couple of weeks to really do it. And,
wow.
But
you did do it.
I did do it, and I was entirely open and straightforward about the business model,
right?
That I only deal in small amounts below declaration thresholds. We have, again, one of these sort of globalist New World Order things called the General Protection of Data Privacy or something like that. So once I start gathering customer data and email addresses and names and IDs, it's a hugely complicated, expensive system to manage it. And so, you know, the way not to be caught up in that is you keep it anonymous. Not to know your customer.
Right, but you weren't keeping it anonymous, right?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know my customers, right? So
okay.
I had a...
Well, you mentioned, you know, having thresholds for each customer and things like that.
No, it's not a customer, it's a per address. So it's a per address lifetime limit.
Gotcha.
Of £1,500, which...
So in theory, they could, you know, create a new address.
Basically, what it means is... Oh, yeah, they could, but there's also a daily limit on the machine as well. And frankly, if somebody parts putting 1,000, they didn't have that much stock, someone starts filling it with cash, I have to turn the machine off, because I have to balance buying and selling has to match.
Sure.
Right? And it frequently got turned off because it was just popular, and the commission as well would have to put the commission up to balance the two flows.
Okay.
Right? And so, really, the prospect of somebody seriously using that for money laundering is useless. I mean, you just can't put enough money in.
Okay.
Right? If you wanted to money launder, you'd open a takeaway business or something and just declare vastly more sales than you through your cash register than actually came into the shop.
Sure.
Right? Deposit that perfectly legitimately in the banking system. Right? And I know for a fact this goes on all over England.
It likely goes on here in the United States as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the easiest ways to
money launder.
Gamble with it. You declare all your winnings, and it turns out you're really good at betting on horses. You declare your winnings. You don't declare your losses. You're a great gambler. You're a professional gambler now, right? And, of course, now you can declare that and you can pay tax on that and everything's fine. I don't think you even have to pay tax on gambling proceeds in England, actually. Right?
You do in the United States, at least. But, I mean, the United States taxes everything.
Yes. But England is sometimes quite gambling-friendly. But So, anyway, I made this application, and I absolutely, totally straight with them, and I listed all my addresses in use. Obviously, the nature of Bitcoin, I basically only sold Bitcoin. I sold Dash and Litecoin as well. Nobody ever bought it. They weren't interested.
Sure. I mean, most people are interested in the big one.
Yeah,
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin's what they want. And told them the business. Basically, told them what I told you about limits, about if you, and like what the real consequences of it. If somebody really was trying to launder money with me, which is they just hit, they reach beyond the end of my willing ability to hold large piles of cash,
right?
And I get stuck with the fact that I turned my machine off, right?
Sure.
And that's the end of it. So I'm. Basically as confident as I can be that actually it was more or less impossible. Fraud got stopped, money laundering got stopped, it all worked. But the regulations came in the form. I told them how this worked. I gave a list of the addresses. I said, you know, how obviously the nature of it is that the addresses rotate.
Right, because it's, you know, a Bitcoin HD wallet, presumably.
You don't use the same, you know, it's a effectively per transaction.
Right.
And so this... I heard absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. I mean, maybe an email acknowledgement, the automated email acknowledgement. And
saying, hey, we received your thing.
Yeah, I paid them as well. So I paid £3,000.
Wow, okay.
For this application. Nothing. Month went by, 2 months went by, in maybe late November or early December.
Almost the entire year.
Yeah, well, I only did it in September, so it was a few months. Right.
So you took your time doing it in the first place. Good for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not on purpose. I've been meaning to do it, you know.
Well, I mean, they gave you a time window.
They gave me a year, and I got it in by September. It was a really complicated application, you know.
Sure.
It's natural to put things off.
If they're tedious and dull and boring.
Yeah.
Filling out this application must be.
Exactly. And
at least you didn't have to hire an attorney to fill it out for you, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I probably they're expecting me to.
Yeah.
Right.
So they finally got back to you in late November?
They got back to me in late November. Again, not a personally addressed email, but basically they said, we've not had time to review your applications, right?
Right.
And that's everybody. And I guess this was in their sort of massive built-in disruption of everyone working from home and
sure.
You know, pretending to be ill all the time. And and they gave me a temporary license. They gave me a temporary operating license. So compulsory for people grandfathered in, compulsory regulation began near the beginning of January 2021. Okay. I had a temporary operating license until 9th of July this year. Right. And again, heard nothing, right? And then, so, about 3 weeks ago, they...
Oh, wow, so this is recent.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, more recent than the Crypto 6.
Oh, yeah, it was significantly after that. And they did get back to me and said, we'd like a meeting with you, right? And so, yes, fine, of course, and we agreed a date.
You got more of this story?
Yeah.
Awesome. Stay with us for more segment. Coming to you live from... Not live. I keep saying live. We're not live. We're pre-recorded. Live to tape, Mark calls it. We're at ForkFest. You can still join us. We're here until July the 4th. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The family of George Floyd wants Congress to pass a package of police reform bills. A bipartisan group of lawmakers has already begun working on it. In Minneapolis, former officer Derek Chauvin was sentenced on Friday after being convicted of murdering George Floyd earlier this year.
22 and a half years is not enough. We were served a life sentence. We can't get George back. Gianna can't hug George again.
George Floyd's nephew, Brandon Williams. In South Florida, a fire burning underneath a collapsed condominium complex is hampering the search for survivors.
It's extremely difficult to locate the source of the fire, and so they've been working around the clock.
Surfside, Florida Mayor Daniela Levine Cava. 159 people have been reported missing. Four people have been found dead. This is USA Radio News. A hot air balloon crashed in Albuquerque, New Mexico, after hitting a power line, killing four people and leaving one person hospitalized in critical condition. Witnesses say the hot air balloon hit a power line at around 7 a.m. local time, after which the basket crashed to the ground and the envelope floated away. The victims range in age from 40 to 60, and the pilot is among the dead. The Public Service Company of New Mexico reported thousands of power outages due to the crash. At least three people died on Friday when a man went on a stabbing spree in Wurzburg, Germany. The attacker stabbed multiple people, leaving at least three people dead. Bavarian Interior Minister Joachim Herrmann told reporters that five people were in serious condition in the hospital. Local police arrested a suspect after shooting him in the thigh. They identified him as a 24-year-old Somali man who had a violent past and a history of mental illness. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live from ForkFest 2021 here in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Here talking with Bill from the United Kingdom about cryptocurrency and his experiences selling Bitcoin. If you have no idea what we're talking about, then it's time to get over to Bitcoin.com. It has everything you need to learn the basics of cryptocurrency. Just click Getting Started or Get Started at the top. Has a number of cool little videos there for you. It takes 3 or 4 minutes to learn. And this is world-changing information. If you don't know anything about it, it is well past time to learn. Check it out, Bitcoin.com. And if you already know about cryptocurrency, there's still something for you at Bitcoin.com. Stay up to date on all the latest headlines and all the news that's relevant to you at news.bitcoin.com, all on a sleek and easy-to-use modern website. Again, Bitcoin.com, the best place to learn about cryptocurrency. They'll even give you some free cryptocurrency. I don't remember the exact web address for that, but check it out. That's there and so much more at Bitcoin.com. As mentioned, I'm joined here by Bill, and we're discussing his experiences running Bitcoin vending machines in the United Kingdom.
In England.
You don't like the United Kingdom?
Well, I don't dislike it, but it's like sort of glamorizes the whole political structure, doesn't it?
I guess it does.
Yeah.
Okay, I will stick with England then. So, you had Bitcoin vending machines in England. They developed some cryptocurrency regulations. Was that 13 years after the invention of Bitcoin?
They finally
got around to it. And they allowed you to be grandfathered in because you were existing prior to the creation of these regulations. Then they were so swamped with these applications that they issued you a temporary license so that you could continue operating your business. And that's pretty much where we left off.
Right. And so about 3 weeks ago, that is 9 months after my application and payments of the fees, they say they want a meeting with me. All right. And so I agree. It was a fascinating meeting.
I can imagine it was. Yeah. I mean, you're sitting down with government officials to talk about your business model that sells Bitcoin.
So, and they were, they were perfectly polite and friendly and very clear. You know, they were absolutely clear about what their requirements were, what their concerns were. First interesting thing was is the people doing the meeting. So there was a relatively normal, younger than me, English guy there who was the official host of the meeting, but it was also a much more senior American. And this is
interesting.
This is the Financial Conduct Authority in the City of London, right?
Okay.
The official arm of the regulatory arm of the British government. And there was also, from accent, I would say a Russian lady, but I don't know her nationality or background, but I'm assuming.
So a Russian, an American, and an English person?
Yeah, a presumed Russian.
Presumed Russian, sure.
Presumed, maybe other similar Slavonic nationality.
That's a weird mix of people to be talking to cryptocurrency, talking with cryptocurrency.
Although, to be fair to them, it's not a particularly unusual mix in the City of London.
Okay.
All right. The meeting very quickly became really the more senior American guy's meeting, and in my opinion, which is not a criticism of them at all.
Right.
And basically they went through a number of concerns that they had, which was...
Were they these general concerns, or were these pertaining to your particular business model?
Pertaining to my particular business model.
Okay.
Right. First of all, they were very critical of the absence of KYC, because...
Oh, I'm sure.
they said that was absolutely required, and I had looked through everything in all the information they sent me, and it was not mentioned once. Right? And... There's a lot mentioned about what steps you take to prevent the laundering of money and terrorist misuse and criminal misuse and all those things, all of which I do.
Right.
And there was nothing anywhere that said, KYC, get real IDs, check them out, have all these things. Right? Nothing.
Well, why would there be? You don't have to have that to have a candy bar vending machine.
No, exactly. Or to sell gold and silver coins in a shop front or any of these things. They were particularly critical of that. But the real meat of it came when...
Were they correct in saying that KYC is required?
No, they were particularly... I don't think for anyone who's not really experienced in that, it'd be very difficult to.
It's not a legal battle that you're looking to fight.
It's not a legal battle I'm looking to fight.
Okay.
If they say I need it, then I that's fine.
Okay. Regulations on the fly.
Yeah.
In the modern world where a regulator can just tell you, oh yes, you have to do this, without having to actually point to any law on the books.
They actually did point to the law. They said it's in their 2017 anti-money laundering legislation.
That's what they always do.
Yeah, and
money
and
laundering. Yes, asking for your ID is going to help with that.
It's literally like 40 pages long, or more, the document. And
and I know that sounds like it should be terrible, but I'm an American, and a 40-page bill here would be a godsend. But it's going to be more like 800.
It might have been. It might have been longer. I mean, I couldn't read it. I couldn't understand it.
Of course not. It's all in legal jargon that is specifically designed to keep the average person like you and me from understanding what we're reading.
Exactly. And they did say I should have read, I should read the law, and which is not very easy. But
then you should write laws that are readable.
Yeah, and all they really needed to do was somewhere say, these are your requirements for running a Bitcoin vending machine. You need to... All transactions over this size, or every transaction, you need to have real ID, you need to confirm it, and it'll cause you legal problems if you're wrong.
Yeah, right? It should have been like a page long at the max.
Yeah, right. So they didn't have that. But then they started, they were very displeased about they said that all these situations where I was stopping, they said that it was not it was improper that I was stopping customers this way.
What would they rather have you do?
Well, they said because by that point they've already put money into the machine. Now, sometimes, often a lot of the time...
Well, I can imagine you can open up the machine and give them their money back, right?
If they can return the Bitcoin to me.
Sure.
Which they always can't.
Right, because they sent it to their Nigerian prince lover.
Yeah, but also, I pointed out to them that the people who do that all have valid ID.
That's a good point.
You know, they
and they can always just go into the shop and buy these prepaid debit cards and send those as well. And they do that.
Yeah.
Why is it the FBI raiding Visa? Because Visa is complicit in these things.
Absolutely.
They sell those prepaid debit cards.
And they could do Western Union transfers. They could do interbank transfers. There's all sorts of things they could do and do. Right. And in the case of me, whenever anybody did that, you'd see straight away, and most, I would say, you know, getting on for 9 out of 10 times, you stop them before they even use the machine, because they don't know how to use it, and they've got a QR code, and it's been sent to them by WhatsApp, the retailer sees it, and he says, don't use the machine.
Yeah.
And if you carry on using it, I'll turn it off. Right?
And I can guarantee you that you have a higher success rate than Walmart or Target of these others preventing fraud.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, that was all stopped, and those people, and I circulated pictures of people who were known fraudsters to other vending operators and things like that. So
you performed a valid public service.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you helped people.
Basically, it worked, right? It worked, but it wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't the technique they wanted, which is KYC-based. So
as you pointed out, KYC is not going to help with that. The little old lady trying to get Bitcoin to send it to her Nigerian prince lover, she has a valid ID.
Yeah, exactly.
How is that going to help?
They said, but basically the real meat of their complaint was that the company was required by law to have an anti-money laundering officer, which obviously is just a company of just me.
So you assigned yourself that title.
I assigned that title to myself, yeah. And I tell her, you know, I have a policy with the retailers. I described it, which is basically what we said already about, you know, these typical signs of criminal activity, which by this time the retailers know like the back of their hand because they're seeing it once or twice a week.
Right.
Right. And so it's not like they're idiots. Right. And they said I was not a fit and proper person to be the anti-money laundering officer of this organization. And this is because all my experience, and I have worked for banks, right?
Right.
But all my experience is IT. It's not anti-money laundering. And I don't. Not only do I have no qualifications, but for a business like this, it would need to be qualifications and experience of a minimum level.
So
I'm looking. I reckon in dollar terms, I'm talking. They'd say I have to hire an anti-money laundering officer. And I reckon, yeah, in dollar terms, maybe no change from $100,000. Right.
Yeah.
So and we're talking about here somebody who's turning over, my guess, a few thousand a week. Right. You know.
It doesn't seem worth it. So is that where you stand now? Is they want you to hire this officer?
Yeah, but it got worse.
It got worse. All right, excellent. Stay around. We're going to talk about that some more. More coming up from Rogers Campground. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Youngevity. Teamgaday.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live from the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire at ForkFest 2021. Learn more about it at ForkFest.party. We are here until July the 4th, so you got to get down here and check it out. I'm being joined now by Bill from the United Kingdom, who's been relegating me with his very compelling story of running vending machines in the United Kingdom, Bitcoin vending machines in England. Yeah, old habits. And having to jump through all of the regulators' hoops, it took them several weeks to get back to you saying, hey, we haven't gotten back to you. And then it took them several more months to finally say, hey, look, we want to have a meeting with you. You finally did.
9 months after the application.
9 months after the application. They finally sat down with you. They had issues with your methods of preventing fraud, which you seem to have been relatively successful at. More successful than the companies like Walmart and Visa, who offer all of these prepaid card scams, whether they know it or not. I mean, these things are certainly happening. And asking for people's IDs, as you point out, isn't going to stop the little old lady who's trying to send money to her lover who's stuck in Tanzania or whatever. It's not going to stop her. She's just going to present her ID, and that's going to be the end of it. But they don't care, you know. That's not the world they live in. The world they live in requires you to collect this official document, and even though collecting that official document is completely and totally useless for doing what they say it's going to do, you still have to collect it. And your methods, do they want you to stop your methods? Do they say, no, you can't do that at all, just ask for their ID?
They said I had to ask for ID, but also they said that each time somebody successfully transacted and then was caught, which happened, you know, it certainly happened.
Sure, right? You don't always catch them the first time.
You catch them when they hit the £1,500 limit, because they're using a QR code and they're not using a wallet, so it doesn't generate a new address per transaction. Oh. They reuse it and the machine says, you know, transaction limit reached. All right, and then they complain to the shop and then the shop catches them.
Gotcha.
Right, so it's, they said, they said every time that happens, that has to be reported to them.
Okay.
All right, which I didn't know. I thought that, you know, I thought it was. You have
well,
to,
I mean, you did the best you could.
And yeah, exactly. I stopped it.
What is reporting it to them going to help? You know?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know how any of that worked anyway. So, Then they said I was, because I had no experience as an anti-money laundering officer, I didn't have a whole career of being in anti-money laundering, lots of experience, qualifications.
Well, you had at least 5 years of experience doing it at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
You just didn't have the government license to be...
I didn't have the license. I hadn't worked in a bank. I'd worked in a bank, but not in anti-money laundering, right? And they said I was therefore not a fit and proper person, and they would want, if my application was to proceed, they would want to see evidence that I had hired a suitably qualified anti-money laundering officer. So I could have done that at that point.
Which, I mean, you could have, but...
I couldn't possibly have afforded to, get based on my turnover, which is, you know, a few thousand a week.
Right.
Right.
And you would have to upscale the size of your business probably considerably.
I would need 50, yeah. I reckon. 50 and higher sales as well, just because I would not have these long periods when it was turned off to balance ins and outs.
Right.
Right. And... So
basically they were saying you're not wealthy enough to continue operating your cryptocurrency business.
Yes, and not experienced enough.
Mm. But you know who is experienced enough? Coinbase.
Yes.
And Kraken.
Yes.
This is a perfect example of exactly what I was just talking about down there, them trying to shut down little people to funnel everyone into the state-licensed, state-sanctioned cryptocurrency exchanges.
And those exchanges will have a huge problem with little old ladies sending money abroad, because that doesn't stop them.
No.
You know, they're buying Bitcoin and the fraudster just tells them, yeah, put this address in.
They won't ever even meet anyone at Coinbase.
Or actually, they won't even. What happens is that that person takes over their computer and they say, that's fine. No, install this app, and I'll show you what to, and we'll go through it together.
Yeah, or they just say, give me your Coinbase login and I can do it for you.
Or give me your ID. Yeah. And we'll do that. I'll set this up. Yeah. And
so shoving all of this into the responsibility of cryptocurrency exchanges like Coinbase, it makes the problem worse.
Absolutely.
Because even if they do have their anti-money laundering officer, they're simply dealing with too much volume and too big a scale to stop even... It comes back to Walmart and the prepaid visas all over again. They're simply selling too many of these things to have any chance of catching the ones that are fraudulent.
Whereas I reckon everybody, ultimately, everyone who was doing something wrong, whatever that may be, one way or another, they were caught and stopped. Even if they were successful at all the other things and they knew what they were doing, then ultimately I would notice that sales of the machine had increased much more than my ability to supply it, and I have to turn it off.
Right.
All right.
And
so
you have to look into it, like, well, why did this even happen? And it turns out, oh, it's this 83-year-old woman. And
yeah, and that has happened. She was in her 60s. I won't name her, but I've actually seen her real ID. And
that didn't stop the fraud from happening?
No. I reported her to the police because... Yeah, you have to. You know,
you got to cover yourself.
You got to cover yourself. And anyway, she was actually obviously seriously involved in genuine fraud. She was defrauding her family.
Oh, she was the actual fraud perpetrator.
She was the perpetrator. She passed herself off as the victim. She was the perpetrator. And this is a lesson I've learned.
That's complicated.
It's something I assume now. I assume that when people pass themselves off as stupid, right, there's a good chance that they are... that they are involved themselves personally, right? And I've seen it, right? And this is someone who I had to end up circulating pictures around of her to other operators in the area because she was hitting them too.
Right.
And they knew about her, they'd already banned her.
And wouldn't it have been nice if they shared that information with you?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like, hey, this person's actively engaging in fraud. You know?
Yeah, this is normal. So there was that, and then another interesting thing happened is that at this point, the lady who I assume is Russian, and I assume Russian based on accents, but it's not hard and fast.
Right.
She mentioned that. First thing though, when they said I was not a fit and proper person to be the anti-money laundering officer of the company without lots of experience.
Right. Because you weren't Coinbase and you didn't have Coinbase's kind of resources.
Yeah. They advised me to withdraw my application. All right.
Really?
Yes.
That's just, we're going to decline your application?
And they advised me to withdraw it, right? But then she spoke up, and she said that it may, you know, may not be, it's not as relevant now given the earlier discussion in the meeting, but they had a particularly picked up on the fact that I was selling Dash.
Okay. Right?
And they said Dash was a privacy coin.
Yeah.
Right?
Well...
I don't consider Dash to be a privacy coin. Certainly the way I was using Dash was not, because I did not have all the features of that. Yeah, what is that, what they call it, a Mangler, Tumblr or something. I didn't have that feature turned on.
Yeah, it's, you have to go into Dash and turn on the feature, and only some wallets support it, and the receiving wallet has to support it, if I understand correctly. There's enough, you know, gotchas to it that I just flat out don't consider Dash a privacy coin. It is not a privacy coin. It's also heavily pre-mined, but that's a different issue.
Exactly. And but the other thing about Dash is, you know, I do, and I keep records of every single transaction I've ever made, right?
Well, so does the blockchain, so you don't really necessarily have to.
Yeah, but from the point of view of C, you know, because it comes with the software, you know, you see all the transactions and forever. And my total sales, I haven't looked exactly, but I'm going to guess all the time I sold Dash over a number of years, I reckon my total sales were about £3,000.
Okay.
Right? So this is not a coin people want in England, right?
It's not a coin people want in the US.
No.
It's a junk coin at this point.
Yeah. And so it's just there just because I liked having options to make it
sure.
Doing more stuff. And it didn't really cost me anything to have it available.
Right.
And so they said, yeah, this is a privacy coin. They did not think that it was possible for anybody running vending machines to sell Dash and be compliant with the law.
Really?
Yeah, that was their wording. All right.
So they were basically saying you have to implement KYC, you have to hire this other person, and you have to stop selling Dash.
Yeah.
But just withdraw your application.
But basically, yeah, the advice was withdraw my application. So
and then do what?
And
are they telling you
cease trading? Yeah.
Oh.
I said, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, and if you put that in writing, I'll act on it. And so that was on a Friday, and by Monday, they sent a letter to me basically saying exactly what they'd said in the meeting, and that day I turned the machines off permanently.
Wow.
Yeah, and because basically I am not going I'll make the comparison with a cat's tail and a mill wheel. I'm not going to get involved in that kind of fight.
That's so strong an example of what I was talking about in my presentation earlier. Go to freekeen.com to watch that presentation. Bill, thank you so much for joining us today. I don't know when it's going to be up, but it's going to be at freekeen.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission, and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.